Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This now concludes our semi-final matches. Cobra Kai not naming a replacement for their fallen captain means that Axel Kovacevic automatically becomes our new male champion. However, Cobra Kai has named a replacement. Joining Tori Nichols on Team Cobra Kai will be Miguel Diaz! Coached by their two-time All-Valley champion and their new sensei, Johnny Lawrence!
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 13, Skeletons.
Skeletons in the Closet.
Yep. Finally know what that's about.
Let's just jump in. It's Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 13, Skeletons. Whose turn is it to read? Who hasn't read in a while? Do we remember? I don't remember.
Don't know. I don't remember. I think Richard did it last week.
Why don't you do it, Rima?
Okay, sure. So plot summary this week says, all the dojos prepare for the Taikai's resumption, uncertain if Cobra Kai will fully participate. Kreese meets Tori, revealing he only re-registered the dojo for her to win and apologizing for his past actions, including Kwan. On the day of the men's semifinals, Kreese tries to make amends with Johnny, who rejects him. Robbie and Axel's match starts evenly, but Axel adapts and dominates, ultimately breaking Robbie's knee to secure a spot in the finals. Meanwhile, Sam hesitates and ultimately withdraws from her match against Tori, leading Miyagi-Do to resign. With Kwan absent, Axel is set to be declared champion. Despite their history, Johnny and Kreese reconcile in a surprising turn. Or is it? Those are my words. Kreese steps down, allowing Johnny to lead Cobra Kai into the Taikai with Miguel and Tori as captains, stunning Silver and Wolf.
Bum, 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 bum.
Stunning. That's a good descriptive word for this episode.
Yes.
You liked it?
Yeah, it was great. So many throwbacks to the original movie, number one. That's like the first thing that comes to mind. And then super high on emotion because the acting was for real, man. I'm sure you guys could too, but I could feel Johnny's pain. You know, you could to a lesser extent, I could feel Kreese's regret, but I definitely felt Robbie's pain. Sam's, you know, was all worried. I felt that a little bit. But my absolute favorite was at the end, and you could just feel the hatred coming from Miguel. I was like,
yes, you go
kick his ass, Miguel.
Yeah. What's his name? Sholo Madureira. He's good at being mad.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's got to be good acting, right? If you can feel it through the screen and you're not actually in the room.
I mean, Johnny's was, yeah, the most moving to me, Johnny and Kreese, and it's interesting to see Johnny showing all these emotions that he never probably was capable of.
Yeah.
When we first started the series, or at least it didn't seem like it.
It's a little bittersweet, but more sweet than bitter.
Yeah, I know, huh? Yeah, I agree. We'll get into it. Rima, what about you? You liked it too?
Oh my word, Yeah. I was pumped. I watched the episode after we had wrapped recording last week. So it's been pretty tough sitting on this all week and not being able to move on. I mean, that's talked about it multiple times, right? Covering Netflix shows and, you know, that you know, having to hit that stop button so it doesn't go to the next episode. But I mean, I was in bed, lights are out, and we got to that final scene and I just let out a big hell yeah. Because I was so freaking excited. My poor dog was like, what the hell? You know, all was calm and quiet. But yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, a lot of emotion in this episode, a lot of great acting from, you know, everyone, I thought, in this episode. And yeah, just great to see everything move along and come around to what I thought it was going to be.
I was like excited to see what happened. And then I looked down and my cat was wearing a Cobra Kai outfit, a classic Cobra Kai outfit. It was so weird. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Now we have to make that happen.
Mr. Miyagi showed up.
Halloween. Yeah. Then a skeleton came out of my closet. I loved it. I really like how the series is bringing the plane down for a landing and just these writers are so good. It's like a big puzzle piece and we're seeing the last few pieces start to get put in and it's feeling pretty satisfying already, even though we still have a couple episodes left. So yeah, I really loved it. I still think Kreese's turn is a bit too much like, oh, we're at the end, so now he has to be good. But it's still, you know, satisfying to watch anyway.
Yeah. Well, all the events and the opportunities that gave everyone else to do their parts, you know, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, want to go first?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the ESPN style intro to the whole show, you know, with the two sportscasters, real sportscasters who do a lot of NFL stuff. It actually adjusted my perspective a little bit on this show, making some of the unbelievable parts a little more believable, I'll be honest, because I watch a lot of sports and there's quite a few parallels between professional sports and what they were talking about here. You know, there's in real life, there's always some sort of cover up for cheating or for some sort of, you know, PED, performance enhancing drug or something like that. It's not that unbelievable to get injured, but continue to play, or in this case, you know, continue to fight. I remember watching a documentary where professional football players have the option when they get injured, especially towards the end of a game, to get a shot that kills the pain so they can go back out and resume playing. Mm-hmm. They're not forced into it, but they have that option, you know? So I'm getting off track here, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty cool. Made it a little more believable. Got you all pumped up for it, you know?
Yeah. And they always play up some kind of dramatic angle too. They try to make stories out of it, right? And here they played up that Johnny and Daniel were former rivals and now working together, and then they keep showing Johnny get kicked in the face, and then they just air the part where he says, yeah, well, nobody likes to lose, and then they cut over to Daniel, blah 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 blah. That was pretty good.
I talked to that dude for like an hour.
The sportscasters, Kevin Burkhart and Ryan Clark, I've never seen either one of them, but I prefer my sports in dramatic TV show format, but I figured you'd seen them.
Yeah, they do a lot of different sports. They're kind of jack of all trades.
It's cool they got them for the show. That's pretty neat. Because I didn't know. I mean, I don't watch sports like I used to, so I am out of that realm. So I was like, well, if they're not, they're playing it really well. But
yeah,
I guess that's because they're professionals. So.
I was getting that vibe, so I looked him up and I'm like, yep.
Cool.
Rima?
Well, I'm just going to start off with Kreese. And, you know, I've been pretty hard on Kreese. And I mean, I think with good reason, considering how awful he's been throughout most of the series. But, you know, I'll admit that I didn't think that we were going to get this from him, you know, this what seems to be some real sincerity from him in this episode and how apologetic he was, you know, when he went to Tori and apologized, you know, for you know, basically, you know, bringing her into the drama and kind of using her for his own end. You know, she didn't really want to have a whole lot to do with him at that point either, you know, when he approached her. And then when he, you know, goes to Johnny out in the parking lot, you know, and he's really seems to be sincere, but Johnny really didn't want, you know, to have a lot to hear from what he said either. He's like, you know, look, it's, you know, we're kind of beyond that. And it was, I like the callbacks. You know, you mentioned we get the, you know, a lot of memories back from the first movie, you know, and this whole episode was really heavy on the events of the first Karate Kid movie. You know, and I like it, the series has been really good, but one thing I've always, you know, kind of called out was it's about Johnny, it's about Cobra Kai, and kind of seeing this kind of come back in this way and how they were bringing it back full circle to that moment at the end of the movie, you know, where Kreese is belittling Johnny and tearing up his trophy and, you know, kind of brings it all back to kind of where we got Johnny in season one, episode one, you know, kind of just brings that all back. So we get so wrapped up in the kids' drama, you know, in the show that we kind of forgot how it all came back to Johnny when this show started. So, you know, I kind of like how it was kind of bringing all that back. We get to relive some of those memories, see how we kind of got here. And I was just impressed. I'll admit, you know, I was kind of wrong that, you know, I don't know if this is considered a full redemption for Kreese or not, but I do like that we're kind of getting the sincerity from him, and I believed it. Mm-hmm. So I think they did a good job with that. And I think that the actor did a fantastic job. Like you could feel that emotion, I thought.
Yeah, I think so too.
So
Martin Cove.
Yes, thank you. I totally blanked on his name, but thought he did a fantastic job. And Johnny too. I have more to say about like later when they talk again, but just like initially with Kreese, you know, coming back and his conversation with Tori and being apologetic, and then with Johnny. You know, I was surprised. I didn't think they'd do it, and that's on me for not having faith in the writers and showrunners. But although they did a good job.
I don't know. Well, you think that's about not having faith? Just two different ways of doing the story, right? Either have him stay a villain or not. Like they're both equally valid, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just wasn't sure they were gonna get me to believe it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, they were going this route.
Right. And have it like lead to some really good scenes.
Yeah.
That are like, oh yeah, I'm glad this happened kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I feel like it was a sharp left turn that I'm not sure I believe, but it's led to some great scenes.
Right. After six seasons, you're just a little like walking on eggshells kind of about it, you know? Plus, he kept saying he has one last thing to do. Was that it? Was that making up with Johnny or asking for his forgiveness? The one last thing?
He said he had one piece of business.
Yeah.
I think he said, used the word business. So I would guess that he meant make sure Tori gets into the tournament. And then once he got there to do that, he saw Johnny and decided to talk to him. But that's just a guess. It might have been Johnny. Yeah, he might have met Johnny. I don't know.
Yeah, because I was considering this, the possibility that may be the last time we see him kind of walking out the door.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe so. We keep saying that. Kim Dae-yoon, I don't even know if we're going to see her. She said, this will be the last time I see you. And yeah. I had thought she was going to lead her students into the tournament. But when you look back at what she said, she goes, I'm going to lead this dojang, which is just basically a class of students, my way. And this is the last time I'm going to see you. So that makes me think maybe she won't be around. But I think we will see her again just to wrap up Chozen's story, though.
Yeah, that too. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we need a Chozen spinoff with her and him.
Like a sitcom, family sitcom. That could be good. That could be damn good. Every once in a while, they just start karate fighting each other. Mm-hmm. It's like an update on Married with Children, where they both know karate.
Love that show.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about Johnny and Kreese reconciling. Kreese approaches him in the parking lot, thanks him for helping him fight off Silver in Barcelona. He says, when push comes to shove, Johnny Lawrence always does the right thing. And I think the idea there is to show that he sees Johnny more clearly now. But I'm thinking, Johnny absolutely does not always do the right thing. but it was a nice moment. And then he said, I'm sorry I ruined Cobra Kai. I was so proud of you for bringing it back. And for the last few months, I've been thinking a lot about my failures, and my biggest failure happened right here in this parking lot, which then it made me love. Oh, he's doing it right where it happened. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so good that he understands that how big of a deal that was and knows exactly what he needs to apologize for. And that just got me really spinning on a lot of different things on how the tournament ended in Karate Kid. And in particular, like, you know, the show, like you guys have talked about, it brings back little elements from the movies and plays with them. And I had always wondered if they were going to address when Johnny said, you're all right, LaRusso, at the end of that tournament.
Because
in the moment, back when I first saw the movie, I thought, come on, he's been a dick to him this whole time. And all of a sudden he right after he got his ass kicked, he's going to be like, you're the best. And I didn't totally believe it. Right. But, also, this whole Cobra Kai series has seemed to be a lot about Johnny resenting Daniel and blaming him for his sorry lot in life. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if he felt that way, why would he have been so gracious in that moment? But I just figured, okay, it was a cheesy movie thing. And then afterwards, Johnny changed his mind. But Kreese kind of changed my mind on it here when he says, when you lost to LaRusso back in 84, you handled it like a man. And then they showed him saying, you're all right, LaRusso. And then he had just said, you know, Johnny always does the right thing. And I'm like, okay, Daniel wanted to keep going and fight in the tournament, even though he was injured, because basically he said, you know, these guys are going to know they got the best of me if I don't do this. He wanted their respect. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what that was supposed to show, is he got their respect and they saw, man, you're a fighter. You were hurt, but you came out here and did it anyway. Johnny did. And Johnny, that was a cool move on Johnny's part. And now I think the reason Johnny went from respecting Daniel to hating him is because he was displacing his anger at Kreese onto Daniel.
Yeah.
And all this time hanging out with Daniel and seeing, okay, he's a good guy, and hanging out with Kreese and getting backstabbed by him and everything. He's like, all right, it wasn't Daniel. It was Kreese. And Kreese really, I think maybe Johnny repressed that. Mm-hmm. And if Kreese says here, if it wasn't for me, you would have kept going. You could have ended up in the Sekai Taikai. Instead, I left all that garbage for my life on your doorstep, and it made you carry it for 35 years. I'm sorry for that, Johnny. And that's exactly right. You know, he's been carrying the weight of how Kreese acted because of Kreese's own turmoil, or his skeletons, which is why I think that one reason why I think this episode is called that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I was going to talk about the second part too. Do you want to say something about it first before I go into that, when they talked the second time?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I kind of like that the encounter was in two parts, for one, because it made sense. Johnny wouldn't quite know how to deal with it when he just gets approached by Kreese, but then he thought about it, you know, and thought, you know what, this is what I wish I would have said or whatever. So then he sees him and he goes to him and he says, I'll never forget you for what you did. I loved you, man. And that really got me when he said that, you know, he said, I idolized you. Every good thing about myself, strength, confidence, karate, you taught me, which kind of made me think, oh, well, actually, we all love Johnny so much, and we do have Kreese to thank for that a little bit, because he's a big influence on him. And then he said, I only wanted to please you. So yeah, that night in the parking lot, December 19th, 1984, was the single worst moment of my life. But what hurt even more than being choked out was you abandoning me. You threw me away like trash right when I needed you most. You have no idea what those years were like. I trusted no one, least of all myself, all because of you. And then Kreese hugs him. I'm so sorry, son. I can't change the past. There was some way I could make it up to you. And Johnny says, maybe there is. And I know you did too, Rima. I just kept thinking the best thing would be for Johnny to take back Cobra Kai for this series and be successful with it, and to reshape Cobra Kai's reputation. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't expect the show to do it in such a great way, because Kreese gave it back to him as a way of trying to make up for having treated him so badly. So they made it really mean something.
Yeah.
And then just with the plot where they need someone to step in and take over because, well, Johnny still wants to be involved at the tournament, but Miyagi-Do is out. So he needed something and Cobra Kai needed a leader. And it just all, like I said, like a puzzle piece, it fit together really well.
Yeah. Been wrapped so up in a nice, neat bow.
Yeah. And just to personalize all this a little bit, you know, back to fathers and sons. I mean, Daniel didn't have a father and Miyagi was a stand-in for his father. And Johnny didn't have a supportive father figure. He had Sid, who was an asshole. And, and, you know, I didn't know my real father. I had shitty stepfathers and I don't know what it's like to just not have any father, but I suspect it's worse to have a shitty stepfather than to have no father, you know? And, Kreese was Johnny's stand in for a father and like you said, he taught him everything that was good about him. But on the night of this humiliating loss, when Johnny most needed support, Kreese attacked him. And God, yes, that's why Johnny's life went the way it did. Yeah. It wasn't because of his loss to Daniel. It was because of what Kreese did in the parking lot.
Exactly.
And abandoning him.
Kreese fucked him up.
Yeah. And man, that never really hit so hard until this episode, even though it was shocking back at the beginning of Karate Kid 2 when we saw it, it really hit home here. Like that fucked him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking and that's why I really like that they were putting in those clips from those scenes, you know, seeing the aftermath there in the parking lot, because, you know, you look back and, you know, to what happened and it wasn't like Johnny's motivation for resurrecting Cobra Kai was, you know, because of Kreese and him projecting onto Daniel all these years, like he had such a grudge against Daniel for so many years, and even in like the first couple seasons when they were still, you know, at each other's, you know, butting heads all the time, you know, he kept projecting that onto Daniel, and it wasn't Daniel that ruined or ended Johnny's karate career, it was Kreese. But I don't think Johnny, like you were saying, Jason, I think he kind of like suppressed that or hadn't come to terms with that or hadn't really had that realization yet until this time. And that's just what that made that moment. It just made it feel so earned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it felt good that he got to say that, you know? Yeah. And I was trying to, did you know my stepdad, Jerry, very much, Rich?
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember. I vaguely remember what he looks like. I met him a few times.
Yeah, but he was probably on good behavior, right, around everybody else.
Yeah, it was just when I was at your house.
But I was thinking, I mean, I had two. One was physically abusive to me and my mom, and that didn't last long. And he ended up dead in a ditch 5 years later, beaten to death. I wasn't so shocked, just given the life that he led. And then my second one wasn't as bad, but he was more verbally abusive. But anyway, I was thinking if he came back and apologized, because I'm pretty sure he's still around, like Kreese did here, he never would. But if he did, how would I react to it? And I guess I don't really know for sure, but I think I would be touched by it too. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought of what was going on with Johnny. It's like when Daniel was telling him about Sam's decision not to fight, and he was getting kind of agitated because he's like, well, that kind of sucks. I mean, I'm kind of based my whole career on this, right? But then he's looking over at Kreese, and then after the talk, he goes after Kreese, and I wonder if he had the idea of asking him for Cobra Kai, but then the big emotional speech, you know, the emotions come flowing out, kind of got in the way before he said,
yeah, right. That's the reason he went after him. And then I liked at the end when he came out all triumphant and he nodded at Kreese, kind of like Daniel nodding to Mr. Miyagi after he won the tournament. I don't know if that was a deliberate echo, but either way, it was nice for them to have that acknowledgement at the end.
Yeah. Well,
and the bow, like to his sensei. I mean, I got so choked up. That's so freaking, I mean, I'll start crying if I think about it again too hard. It was just a great moment, just a whole full circle thing. Cause it's like, you know, they finally had their moment and had some closure, and Johnny got what he needed. Kreese was able to, you know, feel like he was giving something back and trying to make it up a little to Johnny for what had happened. And Kreese, in his own way, did think of Johnny as like his son. Johnny was like, you were like a father to me. And that's why it crushed him so hard for Kreese to do what he did to him after the tournament. And so to see him hand over, you know, Cobra Kai, like officially is like a father handing it over to his son. It was like, he's his heir and handing that over to him. It was just such a beautiful moment, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I felt multiple emotions, nowhere near what Jason probably felt or anybody else who's been in that situation. Cause I have not, and I can't even imagine what that must feel like, but it's probably doesn't, I mean, it's gotta have to feel good for Johnny to get all that out. Right. Or is it just kind of like drudge up more? I don't know.
I think it did him. I think it was probably pretty cathartic for him. I mean, he looked, he did such a damn good job. Like I said, so much great acting in this episode. He looked like that same little kid who started up who first walked into that dojo. You know, instead of this grown ass man, he looked like a little kid like for a little like kid, a few seconds in his face. Like there's that little kid, that broken little kid. Yeah. It was like that broken little kid. Cause it's been a couple seasons back when we got that flashback to Johnny first going to the Cobra Kai dojo and meeting Kreese. I think he was like in a really bad, dark place when that happened. And it just seemed like this broken little kid is what I saw in his face. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think to one extent or another, we carry around these, little like traumas or emotions from things that we're holding in. And some people who had harder lives, maybe more than others. And you just carry it and you don't think about it, but it's in there somewhere. And it really impacts your behavior, even though it's all unconscious and your way of seeing the world and just how you move through the world. And so for him to have a chance to let it all out like that, I think is probably, like Grima said, cathartic and probably just makes him feel better to get it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just talking to a school counselor who just got their PhD in child psychology. And she was telling me in the break room that if you could get rid of childhood trauma and violence, you would eliminate like 90% of behavior problems.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Totally.
It's like, whoa, is that high, huh?
Like I think world leaders who are invading other countries and shit are just, they need to go to a fucking therapist.
You need therapy.
To work out their childhood trauma. Seriously.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
The game is on the line and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 foot long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
All right, Rich, what else?
Yeah, Just to add one more thing to that before I forget, for me as an outsider and having been brought up by good parents in a good house, I feel like it's a little too late for me with Kreese, you know, cause I still think he's a dick and an asshole, but I'm really glad that he did what he did so that, you know, it helps Johnny out like that.
Yeah. I mean, 35 years, that's quite a long time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Johnny's a little old to be starting a dojo, honestly.
Yeah.
Use this talk about 15 years ago.
Yeah. and then before all that happened, actually, Johnny in one way actually kind of paid it forward to Robbie because when Robbie got hurt, you know, Johnny mentions, wow, you're handling this a lot better than I did. Or would, right?
Yeah.
Robbie kind of come attitude. In terms. Yeah. I guess all that Miyagi-Do training kind of paid off for Robbie too, in addition to the Cobra Kai training. But he seems to have accepted, you know, his defeat with some grace and dignity, even though it's pretty unfair. You know, Robbie was behind in points when he got hurt. I'm wondering if they did that on purpose. So
yeah.
So it would seem whether he could have won probably a little more ambiguous, you know, which I'm glad for, because if he was winning before he got hurt, like if he was ahead in points, it'd piss you off even more. You know?
But I don't think that was about wanting us to question whether Robbie would have won as much as it's about wanting to not make Axel seem too weak before he goes into this final fight with Miguel, you know, like if they would have had Robbie ahead, then it would seem like less of a big deal when Miguel clearly is going to kick his ass.
Yeah. Good point.
You think, right?
I can't wait.
But yeah, that whole choreographed the fight between Axel and Robbie, man, that was intense. That was awesome.
Hell yeah.
A little bit of shade, little shades of Rocky in there too, huh?
They love Rocky, you can tell on this. This show.
It's referenced a lot. There's always like little callbacks or homages to montages, that, you know, that aren't even in your so in your face, but very much so, like when he's referring to Axel like he's a machine, you know. I think they kind of did something similar in Rocky IV with Drago, you know, because he just kept coming and kept coming. And then I think when he was finally, like when Rocky got a good one on him and he was like lip was bleeding or something, and they said to Rocky, look, he's bleeding. Now you know he's human. He's not a machine. Yep. I think that wasn't that something they said.
Yeah.
This episode too. So
yeah,
I love
this
Rocky
was the first
four,
time we saw. Yeah, me too. This is the first time we saw anyone get any points on Axel the whole tournament.
He got quite a few too. Kept adapting their styles, you know. So what I'm doing, my point here is the different highlights of the whole Axel versus Robbie thing. I'm kind of going at it backwards, starting with Robbie getting hurt and working backwards. But the other one highlight I wanted to mention was Daniel's speech to motivate Robbie when Robbie says, oh man, this guy's like a machine. I don't even know what's happening. You know, they're training with the,
He said he's doing a new moveset and I can't adapt.
Yeah. I can't adapt because of all the training that they did on the, their stupid virtual reality machine. Didn't predict that. And then, Daniel's speech, I didn't write it down, but, man, that was pretty motivating. I was like, I was motivated to go adapt to something. I don't really have anything to adapt to. Like, hey,
it's
man.
All the same around here. There's nothing.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. The whole fight scene was awesome.
Yeah. You want me to go through a little bit more detail of the fight? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just the rules are like before, whoever scores the most points over 3 2-minute rounds wins, which is a pretty cool way to do it. Cause if it's just 3 points, it could be over really fast, but now you get continuous fighting no matter what, but there's breaks for moments with the senseis. And then at the beginning, just like what Kreese did in Karate Kid, you see Terry Silver, we presume suggest injuring Robbie if the match gets too close, you know, we got it. No problem. But if it gets too close, you know what to do or something like that. And then, Robbie scored the first point, which is great. Cause that was the first point we ever saw anybody score on Axel. And then he started using that new fighting style and immediately scored 6 points in a row. Axel did.
Yeah.
And then Wolf slapped him anyway, cause he got 1 point against him.
Cause he's smiling.
Kreese was.
Wait for that dude to get his ass laid out too.
Yeah. He's who's going to kick Wolf's ass? Maybe Kim Dae Jong will come and kick it.
Hope somebody.
Somebody. Yeah. And then Daniel gave that motivating speech to Robbie, but then, so Robbie did better, but he got the same amount of points in the next round as Axel 5, which I think, like I'm saying, that's because they don't want him to seem like he's easy to beat. And then Johnny said Robbie's going to have to get a knockdown to catch up. And I went back and looked. You get 10 points for a knockdown and 20 for a knockout.
Right. Yeah, well, a knockout would end it, right? So you want to get a couple of knockdowns, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But, if it ends it. Yeah, but it's all about the points, too, I guess, still, right? Whoever has the most points at the end wins, added up over the course of all the competition. Then that's when Terry Silver nodded and Axel said, like, it's time to do something to Robbie. And Axel said, are you sure? Do as I say and you'll win, which is just like Kreese telling Bobby to put Daniel out of commission, and he goes, "I could beat him, coach," and out of commission. Yeah.
Did you guys have an immediate flashback? I did. Yeah, I was like, "Oh, I knew it exactly."
Hit the leg.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, the legs. Yeah,
and then he twists his leg, and the way it sounded, it really sounded like he just ripped it right off at the knee.
Oh, I know, it was awful.
In that head of cabbage with a hammer, huh?
And then in the locker room, very similar to Daniel and Karate Kid. Do you have a point about this, Rima? The locker room scene?
I mean, a little bit here and there. It's kind of like the whole scope there with Robbie, but go ahead.
Okay, so the official said, "I'll let the judges know you did well out there, young man," which was the same exact line. And then Daniel says, "Do you know how to do the, you know," claps his hands together and rubs them together. And Chosen's like, "A heat massage, not magic, Daniel. Broken bones need time to heal," which I like. But then I'm like, well, then how did it work in Karate Kid? And I'm thinking, if we're going to come up with an actual reason besides Miyagi's magic and nobody else's, I would just say that Daniel's wound wasn't as bad as Robbie's. And it was just psychosomatic, you know, placebo effect kind of thing.
Plot twist. Just a slightly twisted tendon.
Or like a pulled muscle or something.
Daniel is just a big crybaby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the way he kicked him straight off right in the shin. Remember, he jumped up and came down, bared down on him.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, so Robbie's out of it now. I don't want to go into that. I feel like I've already taken up more than my share. What do you got next, Rima?
Yeah, no, I love the details.
No, I love all those details because I didn't have all the details, but you know, I did have a point about Robbie. Because it's kind of heartbreaking. I mean, Robbie's not my favorite character. He's definitely grown on me over the years, for sure. So I, you know, definitely thought it was worth, you know, talking about. But it's so weird to me that Robbie has over this last season have to be reminded over and over that he's a good fighter. It's just like, I don't understand it. I don't know why they felt like they had to keep doing that. You know, we saw it a lot, like the second part, you know, losing his focus and, you know, getting distracted with Tori, you know, he's supposed to be fighting and things like that. So I'm like, oh, here we are again. We're in the third part and they're doing it again. You know, we got to remind him like how good he is. Cause he is, he's a really good and strong fighter. So they're doing it again in this part three, you know, after he has that first, you know, really rough round with Axel, where he only, you know, I think scored 1 point on him and Axel had like 5 or 6, can't remember.
Six.
You know, and he let Axel, let Axel get in his head again, which I thought was really weird that, you know, then Sensei Wolf is over there smacking Axel. And I'm like, dude, he's up 6-1. Is it just the fact that he got a point score on him?
Mm-hmm.
Did they say
you got hit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's so awful. He's like, do you like getting hit? And I'm like, clearly not. Like either by you or his opponent. I mean, dude is freaking toxic as hell. But I'm trying to remember, did Axel go, I know he was undefeated, but did anybody score points on him? Do we know for sure? Like,
no.
Was he just completely, you know, like nobody had scored a point on him at all? So the fact that Robbie got one in on him, then they're like losing their minds over it. I was just like,
yeah, that's what happened.
Calm down.
It's just tough love though, right?
Oh, they're so awful. But I also love Daniel's pep talk. I don't have it written here either. I figured Jason, you'd probably have it and could read it for us, but I thought it was super inspiring and super heartfelt. It made me feel good. It made me smile. Definitely got me a little emotional and thought, you know, that's really, I think, what helped Robbie, you know, remember all that he's achieved by adapting. Which did help him in turn in the second round. But then after that, as he starts scoring more and more points, that's when, like you said, Sensei Wolf is like, you know, I don't know what he was telling him exactly. I don't know what this move was. But I like seeing that at least Axel seemed to have a little bit of humanity in him because he didn't seem to like what he was being told.
Like he looked ashamed afterwards too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he was proud of what he did.
Maybe he'll beat a wolf at the end.
Maybe he'll be the one to lay wolf out. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like the dog, you know, that you and I don't like to use that metaphor. Maybe I should find something else to compare. But, you know, you can only take so much from, you know, like abuse from a person before you finally turn on that person. Mm. And that could very well be what happens. You know, Axel could be the one to turn on Sensei Wolf. But, you know, I was at least like, well, okay, at least he's not like, okay, yeah, I'll take him out, whether it's fair or, you know, cheating or whatever. He seemed to be remorseful about it, especially when Samantha gave him that look. She gave him a very scathing look of disapproval over that.
That's why he was feeling bad, because he just lost his chances with Sam now.
That definitely sealed the deal, I'd say. But then, you know, what was great after that, and I don't know, I know there's a lot of Robbie fans out there, and I feel bad for all of them because they just will not let Robbie win in this show. I don't know what it is that, you know, Robbie seems to, every time something like this comes up and he's all pumped up, set up for a win, they take it away from him. So I feel bad for all the Robbie fans. But
yep,
the scene in...
I wonder if that was the inspiration for Daniel's inspirational adaption speech, because he's losing and he lost this one. And so, you know, he'll adapt.
He'll adapt to this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. But I did enjoy the scene though with Robbie and Johnny in the locker room, because he did have a really good attitude about it. And I think took it really well considering. And him talking about all the things that he had gained because of karate, which included a good relationship with his dad. That was just another moment for me that I just had me crying. And he may have lost the fight, but there's no shame in it for him. It wasn't like he took the loss. He got taken out, you know, by that move that Axel did. So there's, you know, he has nothing to hang his head about as far as that loss. And I just thought it was a really great moment. He did some great acting there. That was, you know, those tears and, you know, that was legit.
So. Yeah. I think he was very good. In fact, you were talking about, he's not your favorite and I was totally annoyed by him in season one, but this season six, I'm totally a fan of that character now, as much as Miguel on my part. I think I'm really turned around on him, and the actor I think has gotten better too.
He's gotten a lot better since season one for sure.
It was that damn hair. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's
that haircut was so unfortunate.
But it was. I mean, I really think he's improved in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was thinking after, you know, we just talked about the impact that Kreese and his abusive behavior had on Johnny. So maybe Johnny will see what Wolf is doing to Axel and he'll step in somehow and try to help him or something.
Come join Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
I'm glad Robbie's mom was there too. That was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been around more at school too. Yeah.
It's good to see like that good in the previous episode. Was it the previous one or the first? I can't remember. But when they were all there in the guidance counselor's office with Robbie. And so you see all the parental figures. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Seeing all the, you know, like a united front supporting Robbie. And so it's good to see all that.
With Amanda being a super fan, all painted up.
Oh, that was so great. Especially after, like, she's, you know, been so fed up with karate and how it's disruptive their lives and all the things that have, you know, happened since season one. And you see her all face painted up and stuff and see her all into it. Yeah.
That's why she was so into it. She's like, well, yeah, finally, it's all going to be over.
As far as, the weird thing is, having Robbie lose, and I feel mostly good about it, but the thing about having more kids to root for in this series instead of just Daniel in the movies is that you can have this locker room scene, which was the same as Daniel's, and with Robbie not being able to continue on, and have Miguel step in. And I like it because Miguel was the first kid in season one, episode one. He was the Daniel stand-in, the one that got bullied, needed to learn karate. So it'll be cool to end with him. I kind of don't like it because it's true that Robbie always came in second and I'd have liked to see him have a chance to win, but I think it's okay. In Karate Kid in the locker room, when Daniel's laying there and asks to be left alone for a minute, Allie said, you'd have won if they hadn't cheated as she was going out. And here Robbie asks to have some time to himself. And Tori says, that asshole cheated. I'm going to murder him and his entire team. So that's her version of it.
Yep.
Which I love.
Succinct.
Tori version.
And like Miyagi was there for Daniel, Johnny's here for Robbie. And when he was saying all that stuff about, you know, I've gotten so much, I've gotten everything good in my life because of karate. I can't feel too bad about all this. It reminded me of Carmen in the couple episodes back telling Johnny, you know, most people don't get to live their dreams, but maybe it's that way. So we learn to make the most of what we have, and we have a lot. And so anyway, it was a sweet moment, and especially them saying they love each other. Johnny says, I'd say that makes you a winner in anybody's eyes, especially mine. I love you, man. Robbie says, I love you too. And Johnny, I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. Johnny's being the kind of father that he never had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm trying to do. All right. I think it's kind of my turn to do a new one. So I will do No Need Fight Anymore. Because this episode is a lot about remembering what Miyagi actually said about karate, that you train so you don't have to fight. And this is one of the things I used to talk about Karate Kid, is Miyagi saying you train so you don't have to fight, but the most cathartic moment in the movie is when Daniel kicks his enemy right in the face at the end. And so I like that they're sort of taking that to heart, you know, maybe they're kind of carrying forward the impact of having Quan die and actually having it have some impact on things. And I like that the sportscasters are talking about how Miyagi-Do karate is mostly defense. And Daniel says, we did it, Chosen. We brought Miyagi-Do karate to the world, just sort of emphasizing that we're talking about defense here, not aggression. And then Sam tells him that she's not even sure what she's fighting for. And she's like, I'm supposed to fight Tori. I don't even know. And he's like, I'm lost too. Basically, I don't know. I wish I had the answers for you. I'm still searching for some of them myself. And I think it's about realizing karate isn't always the answer to everything, but that's hard to wrap your head around when you're in a TV show about karate, you know?
Yeah.
But so then Daniel, we think, goes to the dojo and just sort of talking to Miyagi, asking for help. And then he hears all these clips of the enemies from the three movies, getting him a body bag and all that. And the mist pours in and a bunch of dudes and skeletons. And I think he's dreaming about this because it shows how impactful this moment was on him when Johnny and the other Cobra Kai attacked him after the Halloween dance and almost killed him. Mm-hmm. Then Miyagi shows up, and pretty cool seeing them fight together. I didn't really get much depth out of all that, except that Daniel just feels lost and wants guidance and support. But Miyagi says, answer same place as always, and touches his heart or his center. Remember, Miyagi teach win, lose, no matter, no need fight anymore, which is what he said in the locker room too. Win, lose, no matter, no need fight anymore. You prove point. And back then, Daniel didn't agree during the tournament, you know, when he was injured. He said, every time I see those guys, I know they got the best of me. But with Samantha, she doesn't need that. She has no reason to fight, so don't fight. And I think one of the reasons I was thinking, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but one of the reasons she doesn't have to fight is, she doesn't need to fight, is because Daniel did fight, because he fought in that tournament, and that led him to have confidence and be respected and start his car dealership and make a good living. And now he can afford to send his daughter to college without her having to win an international karate tournament.
Yeah, I think she said, I mean, she definitely called it out. Like, it means more. Like, Tori has more riding on it than what she does. She doesn't.
Yeah.
need it as like she does.
Yeah, I don't think she really needs it at all. She kind of wanted to prove that she was better than Tori. That was when Daniel had asked her, what's your reason, back in the middle five episodes or whatever it was, the first five actually. But now I don't think she wants to prove that because she's just feeling friendly with Tori, you know?
Yeah, they're friends, and Tori needs it more than Sam does. She said that too.
Yeah.
And so then he tells Johnny, and Johnny's pissed. And then Daniel has this sort of realization about, or he tells Johnny about, like with Miyagi, that I was kind of thinking he might have along these lines at some point, where basically he's saying that I realize that Miyagi is not perfect, and that's okay. He says teachers may seem all-knowing, but they're just human beings like the rest of us. They have their flaws and failures, but it's not on us to carry that. Our responsibility is to take the good lessons and pass those along. And so I think that's sort of like Kreese saying, I left all that garbage from my life on your doorstep and made you carry it for 35 years to Johnny. It's like, I think this episode is kind of saying, if you're a parent or a teacher or a mentor, you should not lay your shit on your kids. Try not to. And all of us should try not to carry the failures of our parents too, you know, their skeletons. And so I think Miyagi-Do bowing out of this big fight right near the end of the whole Cobra Kai series is a good resolution for Daniel, because he has seemed really obsessive about karate in this series in a way that often seems unhealthy. And it felt really healthy of him to let go of it the way Miyagi would have wanted. Miyagi wouldn't have wanted them to be fighting in these tournaments. And I'm sure Amanda agrees too. And, and similar to how it's okay for Robbie to lose because we have Miguel there, it's okay for Miyagi-Do to step aside because we have Cobra Kai. And like you said, Rima, this is about Johnny and it's about Cobra Kai. And that's the name of the series. So I think it all fits together so well.
Yeah. That's awesome. You did a really great job of explaining that, Jay. I don't know if this is a stretch, but I also kind of felt that Daniel and Miyagi's journey was a little bit of a parallel there. You know, whatever, we don't know exactly what Miyagi went through. We have hints, you know, he was drinking a lot. He lost his family. He was probably depressed and angry and kind of went down this path until he killed somebody. And Daniel was heading down that, you know, going down a similar path. He didn't kill anybody, but someone died, you know, because of what he was involved in. And so it's like, maybe time to take a step back, maybe a little bit. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And I, speaking of that, I just, because Daniel does seem to be feeling okay about the way things are going now, letting go of all this, I feel like maybe that means we won't get any more of that Miyagi story. And we also know that the showrunners are hoping to do a prequel. So I feel like that was all just to tease us, so we'll watch the damn prequel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I won't be mad if that's the last AI Miyagi, though.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I don't know. I can't decide if I would rather they didn't do that or not. It is still thrilling.
Why? Why is it that way? Is it skirting the uncanny valley? It kind of just look too fake, really, to me.
Yeah. I mean,
is that it, right?
Has it ever been good?
I've seen some. I don't know. I thought Princess Leia was pretty good in Rogue One.
No.
No?
I didn't think so.
Well, there's going to be a time when it is good, and we're not going to be able to tell. So,
very soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like AI does it better now than it is in movies. You know, they make pictures that seem real and movies that seem real of people that aren't real. Okay, I don't know whose turn it is. I think it's Richard's.
So, I wanted to say something else too about that, you know, Daniel's speech to Sam about ending the fighting, you know, was sweet and totally supportive and everything what Sam needed to hear. But for me also, it was a little bit of a bittersweet moment because the first thing I was like, well, what about Johnny? I was like, yeah, what the heck were the last five seasons about, basically, like Jason was saying there, right? But 63 episodes later on, you're like, oh yeah, man, we should probably just stop fighting. But also kind of, you know, this left Johnny naked and in the rain, basically. I mean, it's everything. That's all he knows how to do. He's relying a lot on this. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know, maybe make a quick phone call or something and just kind of let him in on it, you know, instead of breaking it to him the next day at the tournament.
And being like, this is good for our soul, Johnny. Like, well, maybe for you. And Johnny said that. Okay, great for you. And I mean that, like, not like sarcastic good for you. But he said, I only know how to fight, or I don't know how to not fight or something. But more importantly, he wants to be able to afford, like, win this thing, bring attention to his dojo, bring a lot of students in, make more money so he can afford a good place for his family and to send his kids to college and everything. So he needs it way more than Daniel does.
Absolutely.
Daniel's like not even like thinking about that at all.
Well, and it's kind of like it's kind of like your point earlier, Jason, when you're like, oh, he's kind of a little bit too old to be starting a dojo, but it's like that's kind of the whole thing too. It's like he doesn't have that much time to be like, how am I gonna, you know, quickly provide for this new family that I have and do better for them. This is one way that he can do that. So, you know, because it is kind of later in his life, it's hard to like start over and, you know, try to have a good solid you know, financial start. You know, he's got a new young family and a new wife to support. And, you know, he's got Miguel now as part of his family. Robbie's more active in his life. So he's got to. And yeah, he's just not built to not fight. That's just Johnny.
Good point. Yeah. So how about that ending?
Awesome.
Gotta say, that has to be probably one of the best endings to a Cobra Kai episode ever. Johnny Miguel. Okay, for me it was Johnny Miguel and Tori walking out. Okay, now arguably, and we might get some feedback on this, but I think Tori and Miguel are arguably the best fighters in the entire series. Honestly, I was a little surprised when Robbie and Sam made the captains, and then I was like, we'll go with it, see what happens, you know. And then so it kind of makes sense to me too, kind of tying it up like this, where Sam and Robbie bow out and the two, my opinion, better fighters step in. I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be good. And you know, they're ready to go. I could feel how much they want to murder their opponents. That's standing there at the end and walking out to one of my favorite songs to boot, Thunderstruck.
Thunder.
Oh, I got literally like chills on my arms. It doesn't usually happen.
It was a great scene. Have they worn those classic Cobra Kai outfits in this series before now?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I don't even know if they have at all. I feel like I've been waiting for it. I'm forgetting if they have, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's the best ending.
Just the best. I mean, I was practically standing up in bed, you know, because I was kind of just laying back and watching and getting all, like, everything was so emotional, you know, all these heartfelt scenes and then at the end getting this, and I just was like raising up, and I was like, hell yeah. I was like, oh my God. whenever Gunther's like, you know, because it was so funny too, because he's practically declaring Axel as like the male winner. But he's like, oh, but hold on.
Yeah, the way he
said it.
He said, Cobra Kai not naming a replacement for their fallen captain means that Axel Kovacevic automatically becomes our new male champion. However, Cobra Kai has named a replacement. Joining Tori Nichols on Team Cobra Kai will be Miguel Diaz.
Oh my gosh. I just almost just, I couldn't, it's hard for me to even articulate how freaking exciting that moment was to see Miguel back in black. I mean,
yeah,
I've been waiting, cool. Like Miguel's been my boy since the beginning. You know, I've made, you know, no secret of that. So I knew that this was, I knew in some way this had to be coming, because no way. I mean, I felt bad for Robbie. I'm like, dang, they're letting him down again, you know, not getting a win or anything. But honestly, I knew that they were not going to let Miguel, like, I'm like, there's no way they're going to let Miguel in. We're not going to end the series. Second fiddle
this whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be some kind of fight. Now, whether it ended this way, I mean, I couldn't predict that. I can't predict ever what they're going to do, but I'm like, there's no way we're not going to have some kind of big fight with Miguel somewhere in all of this. So I just, coming back this way just felt so awesome. And then Johnny walking in behind him, you know, as Cobra Kai sensei was just gosh, I couldn't hardly take it all in.
It was just so good.
So with, good.
Yeah, you're right. AC/DC playing. It just
AC/DC.
It's too much.
I was watching the episode on my little computer right here with my stupid little computer speakers, right? And I watched the whole episode and I'm just like gobsmacked. Oh, this is really cool. And then the ending happened. And I'm like, calmly packed everything up, turned everything off, walked out into my living room, my giant speakers are, and I blasted the ending AC/DC all the way up, and windows are like moving in and out, cats are screaming, my wife is like, what the fuck?
That was awesome.
That's funny. And I, you know, you were saying it's hard to have to wait a week, and it totally is, but I suspect we get a little more out of it doing it this way, just more time to sit with all of it, you know?
Oh, totally.
And appreciate it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean,
harder.
Yeah. I mean, I've said that because we cover, you know, primarily Netflix shows on Strange Indeed. So I'm pretty used to, you know, having to wait the week, even though all the episodes are available. So I'm used to having to stop and having to, but it does make you appreciate it more, and getting to sit with it. But man, that was tough. I was like, now I got to see. I'm ready to see what happens, because, like I said, I'm ready to watch Miguel lay Axel out on his rear end.
I wonder if we're gonna get the best. We're finally gonna get the best around next episode, right? It's got to be coming.
Oh my gosh, they have to. They have to.
I think we're gonna be hearing that tonight, right after we podcast.
Plus, I was thinking too, I forgot to check the scores and do the math, but if all goes well, could Cobra Kai actually win the tournament?
I think they're going to win.
They had more points.
They had more points. I can't keep track of all the rules, but they said they were keeping all the points from before, right?
Whoever has the most points at the end wins.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they were keeping them from when they started the tournament in Barcelona. So they retained those points.
So that means that Iron Dragons are ahead, of course, because you want your guy to be the underdog.
100%.
Yeah. So that would be exciting. Could win and become champions. Ooh.
Oh, I can't wait. Miguel is just so fired up. He does play, I mean, because, you know, for a little while in the series, he was, you know, bad and was not the nicest guy. So we know he can play it well. And I mean, he did not take it lightly when Axel did that to Robbie. You know, he took off across the mat, and Chosen had to grab him and hold him back. And then,
and
of course, the whole
like
thing,
because
the whole thing with Sam in Barcelona, he's already got it out for the guy. Right. Like, hey, you made a move on my girl, you know.
Tori hates Zara.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is all going to come around, and I'm going to be so satisfied. I cannot wait.
I laughed out loud when they're writing about the first third of the show or something. Zara was on TV. Oh, it was during the ESPN introductions, right? Or the introductions, and Zara was on TV trolling Tori about the social media, and they showed the clip where Tori was like, yeah, she's full of shit. She's just a conniving little bitch or something like that. And then the whole time Tori's doing sit-ups right in front of the TV, going, like punching her, you know?
I felt that. Yeah.
I'm rooting for Zara, but yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
There was someone holding up a sign in the audience that said, "Marry me, Zara. Marry me."
Yeah,
marry
she has all these fans.
Yeah.
She's an influencer. I like the way it's just the return of Cobra Kai in this episode. We find out Kreese signed off so Tori could fight. And then he tells Tori's like, "Is Yun going to fight?" And he goes, "No one is. You're the last of the Cobra Kai," which was a really cool line. And it made it feel like a movie title or something, and made her seem special and like a place to build from, maybe. And then when Miguel is up there with her at the end, I'm just like, that's going to be the start of something new for Cobra Kai.
Yeah,
I think. Reminds me of the Jedi, like everybody wants them to rebuild the Jedi Order. Did you hear Kathleen Kennedy's leaving Star Wars?
What?
Oh, just now? I thought she left a while ago.
No, she's leaving. You don't like that, Rima? I think she's not that great.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of trolls online who are total assholes, but I also think that Star Wars could use a better creative director.
Yeah. A little fresh blood.
Yeah. Anyway, that was way off topic. All right. Do we have any more points or should we go to notes?
I don't have any more main points.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got, Rich?
I was glad that Quan finally got his moment of silence. I kept waiting for it. They barely mentioned him after he passed away. And then I was just like, hey, are they ever going to say anything about him? They finally got his moment of silence. So that was good.
Penis breath
then
ruined
penis
it.
Penis breath in his nachos. Well,
and, you know, they played that for laughs because he's being disrespectful. Ha, ha. And I'm like, that is disrespectful. And yeah. It feels like you're downplaying this death. Why? Why'd you do that?
Yeah. I was confused. Yeah. I was like, somebody lost their life. It's not really anything to. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad they did it though, at least.
To be honest, I didn't notice it until second watching because, I come from a middle school. It happens every day to me, so I'm used to it. Kids are disrespectful. They don't know any better.
Kids are jerks.
Johnny watching himself on TV holding a baby while drinking a beer. Classic Johnny.
He looks so cute holding his little baby girl, though.
That gave me a chuckle.
He's still Johnny.
I wonder if he's going to try and I wonder how young baby Laura is going to be before she gets her first taste of beer.
Probably one.
Don't tell your mom.
I thought this was the bottle. I'm sorry, Carmen.
What else?
That's it for me.
Rima?
We've covered most of mine, but one of my favorite parts was Chosen telling Robbie to lock in.
Mm.
I love that. Chosen always gets really great lines and is definitely some good comedic relief. Yeah. And I really like that, telling him just to lock in. Oh, and then whenever he told him to knock Axel on his ass. That's all I've got.
Only thing I have is that it was good to see guest referee Daryl Vidal.
Oh yeah, another flashback, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when you watch that movie, Karate Kid, or at least for me, I thought, well, that guy obviously should be the winner. The one that's totally better at karate than everyone else, clearly. But
he's not the main cast.
Cool to bring him back. Back, it's time for some feedback.
Aaron Peterson writes, the best scene in that whole series is in that episode. I loved you, man.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Aaron's seen the whole thing, so now we know that it doesn't get better than this episode. Oh well.
Thanks, Aaron. We quit.
It's only down from here. Damian Vital says, I cried when Johnny confronted Kreese. So many years of heartache and disappointment just spilling out everywhere. On the fence about CGI Miyagi. Enjoyed seeing him, but it's so creepy.
I don't know if he's so creepy, just a little fake.
Yeah, I think I'd rather they do it than not do it. But I'm glad it's not in there too much. They couldn't like make him a main character or anything.
Yeah.
They could have just done the whole series and not have him not have died. He's just hanging out the whole time. Dabalino Bob Grippy says, hands down, Johnny's best scene. Zabka brings it and plays it real. This is the conversation I've rehearsed in my brain infinitely with people in my own life, especially when he says, least of all myself. I was bawling. Season 6, part 3, Johnny is the star. Dude gets married. Dude has a baby. Dude confronts Kreese. Dude walks out to Thunderstruck, just like he requested in the commercial. Mm-hmm. I love the way he goes about proposing. Google steals flowers from some guy's garden and gets chased off. LOL. The CGI Miyagi was iffy. Dude had trucker hair. I'm glad Sam chose not to fight. Her fights were becoming extremely repetitive, especially with Tori. I actually cheered audibly when I heard Robbie's knee pop. Dude.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Sensei Wolf was also Shatterstar in the Deadpool flicks, by the way, and he intentionally played a dick who parachuted into helicopter blades, resulting in green slime and hair for some reason. I have no idea what any of that means, but
it sounds interesting. Wow, there's a lot to unpack in that sentence.
Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, Shatterstar. I think that was in the second movie.
Mm. Gloria Lattery Hernan writes, "This one was so awesome. Felt so bad for Robbie, but so psyched for Miguel. I do wish Sam fought, but as a mom, I understand, and it was actually a very mature decision. I never thought I'd be crying watching a scene between Johnny and Kreese. William Zabka was the MVP of this episode."
Agree.
Yep. Whole series. All right, and we got a few calls. First is Steve Brown.
All right. Hello, Cobra Kai Cast. This is Steve, and this is Season 6, Episode 13, Skeletons.
Okay, so again, it is under 18 martial artists. They're all under 18? And Terry Silver saying he was one of Miyagi's best friends. Come on. At least they're talking about Kwan, you know, on the TV, and even Kreese brings him up here. Oh, they're really leaning into the whole John Kreese apology tour here. Okay, that Terry Silver scene right there in the bathroom with the pills. So he really is dying, but he's also trying to get revenge. At the same time, I don't understand this scoring process. They're cumulative, but they're resetting to zero. I don't, and what? Oh, this guy Axel is really good. And isn't that the point of karate, to use moves the other guy doesn't expect? Oh, Terry just gave Wolf that look and he whispered something to Axel's ears. What's this going to be? Oh, I heard that crack. Yeah, this isn't a sprained knee or whatever. This is a broken bone. Ugh, eek. Oh, so Cobra Kai is going to have to name somebody, a boys to fight Axel. Who's that gonna be? Okay, what is this? Daniel's having some sort of flashback here about all the past taunting he had, and now he's having a flash of what is this dream? Hey, that dream was weird, and now Sam's deciding not to fight. I guess that makes sense. There's only what? Oh, I think I see where this is going. Johnny doesn't, Miyagi-Do, nobody from Miyagi-Do wants to fight. So Johnny's going to become the sensei for Cobra Kai. He's about to talk to Kreese about it, I'm sure. Oh, that was touching between Kreese and Johnny. Oh, I'm choked up. Yep. Miguel Diaz stepping in as the Cobra Kai champion. Ah, and Johnny's his sensei, I'm sure. Thunderstruck playing. Oh, all right. The last two episodes are going to be good. Here we go.
Yeah, we didn't mention, but Silver's all upset. They just really want to show you that he's still got motivation left, and he's whining about they ruined my reputation, even though you ruined your reputation, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm going to hell, I'm going to take you with me, right?
Yeah. When he was saying in that interview, like, about him and Miyagi being so close or whatever, I'm like, dude.
That's funny. And then the scoring, Steve, is as the tournament's gone along and they've had the different events, each team has been racking up its own score. So that's cumulative. What they said they reset was Axel and Robbie's score because they were in the middle of the fight when the whole like war broke out. So they just reset their tournament, their match score.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Alex Kruger.
Hey y'all, Alex Kruger here, leaving feedback for Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 13, Skeletons. They're really having fun with cameos this season, aren't they? Kevin Burkhart really brought a solid amount of thunder and believability to his position. But Ryan Clark, my man, don't act so wooden. Still, I would have preferred we had gotten Pepper Brooks from Dodgeball. Now that's a color commentator. I have to wonder if this damn show is going to make me sympathize and, dare I say, forgive Kreese. I mean, there's no way, right? Right? I don't know. Give Zabka a damn Emmy already. It was delightful to see the human hot sidewinder Vidal again as ref, but holy hell, Amanda coming full circle and being just as insane as that karate mom from Topanga Karate all the way back in season one is just fabulous. I am blown away by Tanner Buchanan this season. His acting chops in this episode shows that he's so much more than just a pretty face and haircuts as silly as Jamie Tartt's. Speaking of things that could divide the audience, I hated the AI and stand-in Miyagi part. I thought the overhead shots and whatnot were so unrealistic, I couldn't concentrate. Honestly, it could have been so cool with the skeletons and all that, but the Miyagi stand-in took me right out of it. And I know it was a dream sequence, so I'll allow a fuzzy representation of Miyagi, since again, it's in a dream state. Also, have I missed it? Did we get the full Miyagi secret trunk story, or is this one of those like, hey man, dude is more complicated and less infallible than you thought? Because I'd be fine with that. I can't tell if I missed something or just, hold on. Miyagi was in the Saikai. He killed a dude. Then a few years later, after his wife died, he beat the shit out of someone over a necklace. The end. I can't recall if we know more than that right now. I would like to start this by saying, go birds. But I didn't think I could be more excited for a sporting event than I was for this past Super Bowl. But holy shit, Miguel Diaz is closing the tournament in a Cobra Kai gi with Tori Nichols and Johnny Lawrence in a way that feels authentic and earned and valid. Oh, God. Love you guys for waiting to watch the last two episodes. My life doesn't have that level of balance. I'm watching ahead. It's crazy how many characters and stories this world has brought us. It's almost like you could do anything within the Miyagi-verse. And that's how I'm segueing into this week's spinoff idea, the Cobra Chronicles. Much like Tales of the Walking Dead, every episode follows its own self-contained storyline. But the hook is every episode is an homage to a different 80s movie. For instance, coming this fall, Three Boys and a Baby. When Carmen, Johnny, Daniel, and Amanda get stranded in Napa Valley, it's up to Anthony, Robbie, and Miguel to successfully keep baby Laura available for 24 hours during a power outage. And don't miss Buddy, We Shrunk the Sensei. While Johnny visits Caltech to try and convince Hawk to cheer up Miguel, who is missing Samantha in Okinawa, he is accidentally hit by Dimitri and Eli's shrink ray and must get put back together before the shrink ray is successfully taken by the U.S. government in 6 hours. Or My Uncle Vinny. Joe Pesci plays Louis' dad, who has to get Johnny off a BS assault charge as it is his third strike. And lastly, the three ninjas buckle up. Kenny, Anthony, and Bert agree to help enter a soapbox derby to pay off some of Stingray's debt. Well, that's it for me this week, guys. I can't believe we're at the penultimate already. Keep up the great work, and as always, don't get kicked.
That's awesome. Nathan worked in Bert.
That was Alex.
Oh, sorry, Alex, yeah.
Those TV ideas keep getting better and better each time.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was surprised you didn't mention Daniel in the My Cousin Vinny one since Ralph Macchio started that, though. Yeah. He was one of the stars. He played two roles. All right, here we have Nathan from Canada.
Hey, Cobra Kai cast. My name's Nathan. I've been listening to you guys' podcast for a while here now. I've been really in love with this Cobra Kai series, and I finally decided that I wanted to throw my hat in the ring and share some opinions and thoughts here about this episode, Skeletons. First of all, awesome referee cameo, Daryl Vidal, I think they is the character's name. I thought that was pretty cool. One thing I thought was kind of funny, the bathroom that Terry was in kind of looked a bit scuzzy, just because, like, you have this big world-class tournament that everyone is fighting in, and then you just see this cheap ass boys locker room, and it just looked nasty. Also, Amanda has zero chill, and it's awesome. I like the unlimited points. I like how it can kind of expand the story and how they fight a little bit. I think that's pretty it doesn't restrict how the fighters fight each other and how they score points, at least for the purposes of the story. I like that choice. I think that's a really nice choice. I'll fast forward to a couple of other notes that I thought were really nice. Robbie saying that karate gave him his dad back. That was a really sweet moment. That whole speech was really sweet. I'll fast forward to a dream sequence. CG Miyagi looked really janky, and his face looked like it came out of a video game. I know that deepfake technology, it can be good sometimes, but if you don't throw enough money at it, it could look really bad. But I'm not gonna lie, like, I'll allow it because it is a dream, and memory can be fuzzy, or pictures can be fuzzy in dreams. So yeah, I'll be okay with that. I'll allow it, but. Even though the CG looked kind of janky, I will say the stunt casting and the movement of Miyagi looked good. I agree. Thought it looked accurate to how he moves in the previous movies. Mm-hmm. And you can even hear like the old ADR in that fight sequence. If you listen to it, like, you can hear it, like, it sounds like an aged audio from the old movies, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I even just the whole meaning of that dream, the greatest victory, that karate, the greatest victory of karate is not having to fight at all. That's like an idea from like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I listened to a podcast a while ago from one of the people from the Gracie family. I forget what his name was, but he was talking about knowing how to fight so you don't have to, and you know, just knowing how to carry yourself. And I know a lot of people who take martial arts classes simply just for the confidence. I thought it was pretty cool. And William Zabka.
I just want to talk about that because, yeah, that's what Miyagi said. You train to fight so you don't have to fight. And mm-hmm. I just saw an article recently talking about Luke Skywalker and how he was kind of an unconventional hero because his greatest moment was when he put his weapon down instead of giving into anger and being aggressive with it. You know, we don't think of it so much that way all the time, but George Lucas did something really interesting with that. And I feel like it kind of mirrors, not totally, but kind of mirrors this a little bit.
Yeah. That's same really idea. Hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And was he acting his ass off with Martin Cove? Oh man. It just hits you right in the feels. I thought it was so cool. And I will agree with Sensei Wolf. It is kind of bullshit to have Miguel just change teams. Like, this tournament has some flimsy rules where you can fight for one team a whole tournament and then just change teams at the end of it and become the captain and the sensei. Because Miguel was with Miyagi-Do the whole time and then became the captain. And then same with Johnny. He was the sensei of that one. He was the sensei of Miyagi-Do and then became the sensei of Cobra Kai. It's the super flimsy rules, but I still love it. And I knew, like, the moment that Miguel came onto the mat kind of earlier when Robbie got injured, something told me, when I saw that picture of that moment of Miguel running onto the mat, something told me, like, oh, he's got to fight Axel. I don't know how, but he's got to fight him in the tournament. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but somehow. But anyways, those are all my thoughts about this episode. It was super fun. I love it. Thank you guys for your comments. And yeah, keep Cobra Kai-ing.
Thanks, Nathan. Good to hear from you.
I appreciated the Gracie reference. I was a big fan of Hoist Gracie back in the day. Used to watch a lot of MMA, and he was definitely one of my favorites. So nice call out.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's Fiona from Scotland.
Hi, Jason, Rima, and Richard. It's Fiona from Scotland here, and I am so excited that I've decided that I'm going to send you a voice message. Otherwise, you would be getting a dissertation if it was written. So what can I say about this episode? It was awesome in so many ways. The callbacks and Easter eggs were firing on all cylinders. I love that we had Vidal as a ref. How cool was that? Johnny and Robbie's locker room moment was just so nostalgic. And probably one of the highlights of the episode was Amanda fully embracing the fandom. So was the episode predictable? Yeah, but in all the best ways, I got exactly what I wanted from it. So I'm not even a little bit mad about the predictability. So the underdog fight with Axel and Robbie was everything that I wanted. It felt earned. It had stakes. Delivered on the hype. The speeches were classic Cobra Kai / Karate Kid melodrama at its finest. And meanwhile, of course, we have Silver out there scheming as if it was his full-time job, which, let's be honest, it basically is. Mm-hmm. And that wolf, what an absolute scumbag. He just, ugh. I am so gutted for Robbie, but it all made sense in the end because this show's called Cobra Kai, not Miyagi-Do. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with it. All the pieces are just coming together now, and I just love it. I love the way they've just got everything around to where it needs to be. We have these two boys and two girls who are all top dogs and they can't all win. So I feel like this is a good way to give them all their glory moment. You know, Sam and Robbie getting their way to those finals, but now Miguel and Tori can come in and sweep up the wins. Perfect. Which brings me to Sam. Sam stepping down was 100% the right move. There's no stakes in the fight. There's no tension. And she's right. Tori needed it more than she did. I love that their friendship has reached a place where Sam can recognise that and step aside without ego. Growth and maturity. Who knew? So, what can I say about the Miyagi fight? I respect that the CGI was upgraded from the last time. However, it did pull me out of my immersion. It was like a really bad green screen effect from a 90s action movie. It was really not good. Really, really not good. For comparison, the first thing that popped into my head was Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, where they de-aged Johnny Depp. I went back and watched it, and you know what? It was almost flawless. I actually felt like I was looking at a young Johnny Depp, but this was not great. It's all in the mouth, isn't it? If the movement isn't quite right, it just throws the whole thing off. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you don't have the budget to do it properly, just don't do it. I could have lived without it. If you're not doing it well, what's the point? Anyway, moving on. Loved the bit at the beginning when the commentators are going, and where is John Kreese? And then he just spawns in out of thin air like a final boss in a video game. It never fails to make me laugh. He did it again with Johnny later as well. He just spawns in. It's brilliant. But this time, it felt different. No scheming, no manipulation. I think he actually means it. Character growth in John Kreese. Who would have thought it? Johnny and Kreese's arc got some well-deserved closure, especially in the second part of it. Kreese apologising was huge, but Johnny calling him out was even bigger. And that final exchange, I wish there was some way I could make it up to you. I was literally yelling at my screen, I know a way. I saw the twist coming a mile away, but did that stop me from absolutely losing my shit? No. It did not. And listen, I never thought I'd be cheering for Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai, the same dojo that once made Daniel LaRusso's life a nightmare. But here I am, fist bumping and yelling at the TV like an unhinged sports fan.
Yeah.
What has this show done to me? Miguel sitting on the bench all season has not sat right with me at all, especially with all the tension between him and Axel, and also with Johnny and Wolf as well. So it was the perfect way to end it. The second that intro hit, I was so excited that my two-year-old started bouncing about the room chanting, Thunder! Like she was at the front row of an AC/DC concert. Proud parent moment. The bows and smiles between Kreese and Tori and Kreese and Johnny was just perfect. This episode had everything, action, emotion, nostalgia, and it left me feeling totally satisfied. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually ready for this to end now. Let's finish this.
It's a good ending.
Nice.
Yeah, she's making me think we might actually, because in Karate Kid, when Cobra Kai enters the tournament and they're all like, you know, strutting in there and they're kind of bumping against people as they walk by and they're going, Cobra Kai, Cobra Kai. And now, like, if they do that, this time we'll be chanting right along with them.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
All right. One more from our good friend, Mike.
Hey guys, Mike again. This time it's season 6, episode 13, Skeletons. And wow, another truly awesome episode filled with surprises and a little twisting and turning at the end there. Really felt like a lot happened, and there's a lot of ways I could go with this feedback. For example, it looks like Jason's right. They are redeeming Kreese's character to some extent. I don't know if they're really going to redeem him with the audience, but I think within the show's universe, he might be redeemed. I don't know. Jury's still out, I think. Another thing that we could talk about is...
I mean, you can talk about whether you'd forgive him or whatever, but I would say he's remorseful, at least. You can say that, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Is the deepfake Miyagi work, which I personally, and I hate to say this, didn't think looked really that good. They did it earlier this season for just a quick scene, and honestly didn't really have a problem with that. I thought the effects looked fine for what it was, mm-hmm. but here I really felt like the uncanny valley effect was in full effect. The CGI itself, I think, looked bad, and I think when you stepped away and you had the wider shots with the stand-in with like a wig or like a bald cap on the front of his forehead or whatever, it just really looked bad. And I hate to say that as a fan of this show, I just thought it looked bad and kind of sucked me out of it. But the thing that really had me fist pumping in my living room was the ending. It was exactly what I wanted. And Jason was so right about Johnny getting Cobra Kai back. And I kind of had that hunch that it might be going that way. The series is Cobra Kai, man. And really the series' main protagonist was Johnny, you know, before Daniel came in. And the secondary protagonist was Miguel. And I said in a voicemail that I left last season that last five episodes, I believe, that, you know, I was a little bummed that like Robbie was the team captain and Robbie was getting more of the spotlight because I felt like Miguel deserved that spotlight. Miguel is the man. Miguel is one of my favorite characters. I mean, it's Johnny and Miguel for me. On some days it's Johnny more than Miguel. On other days it's Miguel more than Johnny. But those two characters are the characters that made me fall in love with this series in the first season. And I am just so thrilled with how this is turning out. And Johnny's back as the Cobra Kai sensei and Miguel's there. And I mean, I was just so happy fist pumping. I hope you guys were as thrilled as I was with that ending. I cannot fucking wait to see where it goes. Excuse my French. I don't even care. It was fucking awesome. So yeah, Cobra Kai has come full circle. By the way, badass name for a dojo. But that's all I got for this episode. Did that ending have you guys fist pumping and swearing in your living room too? Man, I still can't get over how awesome that moment is. I literally just rewatched it just now and I got goosebumps again. It's so awesome. Thunderstruck? I mean, perfect. I hope you guys were swearing and fist pumping in your living room too. I seriously cannot wait for the next episode of this show and I eagerly look forward to your guys' podcast so I can get on to it. Until then, stay badass.
That was great.
Not in my living room, but my bedroom, yes.
I love that.
I woke up the whole neighborhood.
I love that of a 3-minute voice message, fully one half was just him saying how badass that last one was.
Yeah.
That's how badass
totally,
it was.
Totally yeah. Worth it. It was yeah. Really that good.
You can tell we agreed. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Next episode, Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 14, Strike Last. Do you think they're going to do the whole tournament and then the last episode will be something else?
God, what else? I mean...
It's called X-Degenerate.
What could be resolved in this next episode? Could it?
I mean they're going to have Tori and Zara fight and... Miguel and Axel. So maybe Tori and Zara would be next week and Miguel and Axel would be the final one, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, one fight in these episodes takes like 10 minutes. So if they did two fights, that would be most of the episode, yeah.
Could just be one episode, yeah. Maybe they'll throw some curveball in there, too.
Gosh, so hard to tell. The writers are so dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck they're going to do.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, if you liked hearing a Scottish person in this episode, check out our Walking Dead rewatch, where my co-host is also Scottish and delightful. It's on the cast of us, and we've been going back and watching all the Walking Dead episodes, starting with the first one. We're now on season 4. We just finished Episode 8, where the governor does some bad things.
Lucy's the best.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
You're all right, Rima!
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.